today as we come to the table.
We're being watched by the angels, by the Lord. They see everything we do. We need to be very, very aware that as Christians in community, we have a certain reputation. We're representing Jesus. And if we take the name of Christian, you know, it's interesting that we talk about, the Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. There's a lot of different meanings to that that go beyond the basic thing. When you take someone's name, you're taking them, it's like when someone gets married. What does the wife do? She takes the name of her husband. They're not one, she's taken his name. And that name now is represented by them as a couple. There's a representation. When we marry Jesus, the bride of Christ, when we say yes to him, guess what? We just took his name.
As Christians, we need to be aware that people are watching us. Even more importantly, God is watching us. He has given us his name, and we're responsible for how we represent that name and the way our actions reflect on God and his people. Just as a wife takes her husband's name, we have been married to Christ. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches us that not taking God's name in vain has more than just verbal application. Respecting God's name has as much to do with the way we live as it does the way we speak. When we take on the name of Christ, we represent him. We are responsible for his reputation. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Those who have a life of walking with God, if you've been around those people that have spent their life truly walking with God, they have an excellent spirit. Now, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, but it's an excellent spirit, and it's something to be emulated. It's like, wow, what is it about that person? And you've been around them. You're like, man, there's something about them. That was Daniel. He was the kind of guy that entered the room, and it wasn't because he took command of the room, and he had great charisma. I don't know exactly his personality, but it was simply the authority that God gave him. It was the presence that he loved the Lord. There was a humility to Daniel that made people feel comfortable. Have you ever been around people that the world would think are important, but you feel very comfortable around them? I've had a chance to be around a couple of people over the years, two or three people that were important in the world's eyes. Some of them, you don't feel comfortable at all. You feel pretty much like you think you would feel, very nervous and kind of, you know, tight, if you will. And I've been around some where it's kind of like, wow, you're almost like a family member or something. I mean, they look you in the eye and they talk to you like you're very important and special. And again, that's how people should respond. But we don't typically see that for those that are in higher positions. This was Daniel. That was the reputation that he had, and everyone knew it. And so he had an excellent spirit within him. It says that he excelled above the others. He distinguished himself, and it wasn't because he was trying to be greater than the others. It's just who Daniel was. When someone is made of that mold, they can't hide it. That's just who they are, and God will raise them up and use them in a greater way. And again, we're going to see before we're done with the study, it's because Daniel had a life of devotion to God. And we'll see what it was that Daniel did, and we'll be able to also emulate that as well as we get toward the end here. But also, I think that it had to do with Daniel's reputation. How did Daniel rise to power so quickly? No doubt Daniel was famous in the world at this time. And you're like, well, how could Daniel be famous in the world? Remember, Babylon ruled the world. And now the Medes and Persians ruled the known world of that time. No doubt word spread about some man in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that told dreams and interpretations, and it came to pass exactly as he said, and he spoke to the gods, and the gods spoke back. And of course, they would have been thinking plural, multiple gods, and all these stories would have been traveling about Daniel. No doubt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into a fire, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Who are these Jews? Who is their God? So Daniel had a reputation, absolutely. And that would have been something, look, the night that Belshazzar fell, Daniel gave the prophecy, you're going down tonight. They no doubt heard about that. Are you the man that predicted that we would conquer that night? Yes, indeed I am. I want you involved in the leadership of this kingdom because you hear from the gods, and I need somebody around me that has that kind of connection to the supernatural. They recognize this in Daniel. And so that no doubt was another very important aspect of what was going on here with Daniel being placed in this position. But again, it's interesting to the excellent spirit, distinguishing himself, but God is the one raising him up. And that's something to realize, guys. If we will seek the Lord and honor God and live our lives daily for the Lord, God is the one that raises up to what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be. And that's true in your workplace. That's true in the church. That's true everywhere. If you try to get there yourself and you fight and claw and pull like all these satraps are going to do, trying to pull Daniel down, it always ends in disaster, as we're going to see it does for them. But if you simply seek God and say, God, whatever you've created me to do, I want to do that and use me for your glory in that, whether it be in whatever purpose it might be. You know, it's interesting. I remember hearing one believer that was a very famous runner. And he said, you know what, Lord, I feel your pleasure when I run. And I this kind of thing, I think a great prayer to be is, Lord, what have you gifted me to do? And now as I do that, Lord, let me feel your pleasure as I run. Whatever it is I'm doing for you, let me feel your pleasure. Use me for what I'm called to do. And God has given you the gifts he wants you to use, and he's going to use you if you'll establish that life of consistency with him like Daniel did, and the rewards are great. Now, the persecution can also be great, as we're seeing here, but the rewards are great. So what happens when you have jealousy in politics? Well, we got to find some dirt on this guy, and we come to verse 4. Look what it says. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Hey, find some dirty laundry. Look at this guy's background. See if there's anything he's ever done. Look at his internet history. Let's find out what he's been Googling. Try to do something we can expose or whatever the case might be, right? And so, but Daniel was the type that if they were to check his Google history, it'd probably be something to do with a Bible study, right? So they couldn't find anything on Daniel and these kind of things, but they're looking for anything. Now, you would think a man of this quality, they would be glad to have around. They'd be glad to have him as a leader. That's not how the world operates, and especially in politics. It's cutthroat. Get rid of this guy. And it's interesting, you know, I was thinking the other day, a politic is basically something that latches on and sucks all your blood out, right? That's a politic. But anyway, these guys get involved. These guys get involved in politics, right? And it's a nasty scene. It's not something you want to be involved in. Daniel didn't choose politics. Daniel was just in the midst of politics, and God used him there. Which, by the way, we've talked about it before. If God calls you into politics, God can use you in that. But the thing to notice about Daniel is he didn't become like the rest of the politicians. He kept himself separate. He kept himself distinguished. And yes, he took great heat for it. But at the same time, we see that God honored him and God was faithful to him in the midst of it. And so here they say, what can we find? But notice this, but they could not find any charge or fault. What a testimony. Why? Because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Again, I love the fact that as they examined his life with a fine-tooth comb, they could find nothing to accuse Daniel of. Guys, wouldn't it be great if we all had that testimony before God? That every one of us, if they were to dig deep as they could in every area, look at all of our internet searching history. Look, I keep bringing that one up. But either way, some way they could, you know, look at our work history, look at our whatever the case might be, our taxes or whatever. And when they did, they found, you know what, this person did nothing wrong. And everyone messes up, but they did nothing wrong. I remember the world is shocked when you do the right thing. But you as Christians do the right thing. And that is a testimony to the world when they see that. They try to find fault, but they're not going to be able to find fault if you live above reproach. And the Bible tells us we need to live lives that are above reproach, that nobody can accuse us. You know, I think of how easily we can fall into a trap. A couple of years back, I went to the bank. I did the same thing you guys would have done. So this is not some kind of super Christian story. You'd have done the same thing. But I asked, you know, however much money I was getting out, I can't remember. And the machine spit it out. And the machine, I started walking away, counting the money. The machine had given me like $500 too much. Well, I didn't think about it. It didn't pop in my mind. Yeah. You know, that never popped in my mind. I turned around and said, look, I said, something's wrong with your machine here. It gave me too much, gave it back to him. You should have seen the look on her face. I think, first of all, they were shocked that their machine messed up. They're wondering, has that happened to someone else? But number two, wow, you brought it back. Now, there shouldn't be a wow factor to that. That should be what everyone does, right? The world doesn't do that. See, you do that. You've done the same thing. You're Christians. You do that. That's your testimony. That could have been so easy. Can you imagine if somehow they were looking for the, hey, we're short $500. Find out whose transaction that was. Oh, we found him. It's some guy named Mark Kirk. Let's even look him up. Oh, he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel. Now, I didn't turn it back in because of that. But my point is simply this. That not only would have ruined my testimony, what would that have done to this church? pastor of Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, you know, runs off with $500 extra from the bank when a machine messes up. Billy Graham said, God, don't let 30 minutes ruin 40 years of ministry. Guys, we have to be so on our guard. Everything has to be done right. It's not about being legalistic. That's not what matters. It's about recognizing that people are watching you. I tell you, listen, the more the ministry grows and the fact that we're on the radio, and I've been on the radio for like 15 years, people in Knoxville, a lot of them, at least in the Christian community, they may not listen to me, they may not like my teaching, but a lot of people know my voice. They've gone by the station, they've heard it on there or whatever, and I can't tell you, several times, I've been places and somebody goes, it happened yesterday. Somebody goes, they look to me, I know you, I don't know why I know you, I don't know, I said, Calvary Chapel, okay, thank you. Because they either know the voice or they know the face or they whatever the case might be. And that means that again, the accountability level should be higher for a pastor. But what I've realized and what God is showing me is everybody's watching. People are watching, Mark. But the thing that really hit me beyond that was, you know what, God, that shouldn't concern me because you're always watching. And even if I think, well, nobody saw that, God goes, I did. What are we going to do about it, Mark? Please forgive me. And then God deals with it. We need to have that awareness. We need to be very God aware that we're being watched by the angels, by the Lord. They see everything we do. We need to be very, very aware that as Christians and community, we have a certain reputation. We're representing Jesus. And if we take the name of Christian, you know, it's interesting that we talk about, the Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. There's a lot of different meanings to that that go beyond the basic thing. When you take someone's name, you're taking them, it's like when someone gets married. What does the wife do? She takes the name of her husband. They're not one. She's taken his name. And that name now is represented by them as a couple. There's a representation. When we marry Jesus, the bride of Christ, when we say yes to him, guess what? We just took his name. And so what he says is, don't take my name in vain. It's more than just using God's name in an inappropriate way. And I think there is an application to that, but it's much deeper. It's like, Mark, you have my name on you. You're representing me. You are my bride. You're my family. How are you conducting yourself among the world? Wow. Boy, do I need to pray. Boy, do I need the Spirit of God working in my life. Boy, do I need more to be more aware, because one day I'm going to stand before God and we're going to talk about all this. Now, again, I'm glad I'm not going to be judged for my sin, but I want to be able to stand before him and say, yeah, you know that I'm a sinner, Lord. You know that I'm only dust, and I remind him of that on a regular basis. I'm only dust because David did, so if David can do it, I can. Things happen. Lord, remember, I'm just a dust speck. How much can you expect? But I want to grow, and I know you want to grow. And being aware of who we are is going to have a big factor in that. Daniel was very, very aware. And even in his political setting here, he realized, I need to be found faultless. And I think for Daniel, a lot of it was just because of who Daniel was. Again, nobody expected Daniel to be perfect. God didn't expect Daniel to be perfect. He was still a man in these sinful bodies. But the reality is, we're to be above reproach. We're to be faultless, at least as what we have power to do, as what we have control to do. We're to be faultless. So that we're unaccusable. And this is what Daniel was. He was faultless. And so notice here, they said, you know, we can't find any fault in him. Look at verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not rather find any charge against this Daniel. They keep calling him this Daniel. He should have this almost like this disdain when they talk about him. Unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Wow, what a testimony. Wouldn't it be great if somebody could say, no one can find anything against you except to accuse you that you believe the Bible. Guilty as charged. I'm guilty. If you say I believe the Bible, guilty as charged. I've always thought, and I've never been called for jury duty. I don't know why. I don't know that they avoid pastors. You know, watch me get called this week. But honestly, what I'm going to tell them is, I want you to know I believe the Bible literally, and that's how I'll be judging this. I probably will send me home. And I'm like, okay, that's great. See you later. Time to go to lunch. I will respect the laws of the land, but not where they contradict God's law. There's a higher law. It's God's law. And if you want me to sit on that jury, I'm going to be representing the God of heaven and his word. I'll be happy to sit there, but you need to know what you're getting before you sign me up. And so if you ever want to use that to get out of jury duty, those are bonus points. That's just bonus points, guys. That's the Calvary Plus. If you're involved in Calvary Plus, I'm kidding. There's no Calvary Plus. Everything has a plus behind it, doesn't it? You know, you got to add a plus and a little bit more, whatever. But what a testimony that nobody can find anything against you other than the worship of your God. Daniel was so faithful that they knew they couldn't find anything, but they said, if we can look what he does, and note this, if we can find what he's doing for his God and make that illegal, we can get him. Guys, that's what's happening today. Here's what I want you to note. Christians, with your eyes wide open, Satan does the same thing over and over and over. He's done it throughout history. And that is, If he can't get the church in trouble with the world, he'll change the laws so that if the church continues to honor God, now they're in trouble. And guys, note this. Back in the days of Rome, the Christians were doing nothing but believing the word of God. They were teaching the word of God, and they were saying, look, if you're living this way and this lifestyle, you can't go to heaven. And so they labeled them haters. And Christians were known in that day as haters of men because they didn't go along with the culture. Does anybody see something coming back around? When this whole hate crime stuff first started, look, none of us could be against that. Certainly, who wants a hate crime? Hate crimes, nobody. A lot of crimes have hate connected. So there's a big swath that goes with that. But I saw something different. Knowing church history and knowing the wiles of the enemy, the moment it happened some 20 or 25 years ago, I started letting people know this is going to be used down the road against the church. It's going to corner believers that if we teach the word of God, what they're going to say is, you know what? These are now normal things, and we're going to pass laws to protect these people that are doing this way. And if you say anything from the pulpit or anywhere else against that, then you're going to be breaking law. You're going to be a hater. You're a hater. Now you're going to be in trouble. Look, we saw recently they went as far as for these moms. You love these moms. They showed up at these board meetings, whatever, stand up for their kids, and you know, all fiery. Say, you're not going to teach our kids that. And they start saying they were domestic terrorists. See, if you can change the language and take someone who's innocent but change the language to make them guilty, that person stays the same, but the laws around them change. Guys, I believe that's coming to a world near you. Satan has done it in the past. I think he's going to do it again. I wouldn't be surprised if before long, certain things that I might teach from the pulpit might be against the law and might even be classified as a hate crime because I said that something was wrong. And again, in reality, it's actually a love crime. If there's any, the word crime doesn't really fit. It's the greatest measure of love you could do. Why? Because if somebody didn't come to me and say, Mark, you're living in sin, you need to repent, I never would have known. I wouldn't have repented. But someone was faithful to share that with me, and now I have eternity and I'm forgiven. Thank you for telling me I'm a sinner. Praise God that you had the boldness to do that, because now I know how to be saved. How sad it is when somebody says, no, you can't tell them that. No, you can't try to bring them back away from that. You can't lead them to God. And so when I see this happening to Daniel, I'm like, here, again, I see it happening here, and then I watch what's happening even with some of the bills that they've tried to pass over the last few years in Congress that would have made certain things in the Bible illegal to teach. That's happened. Maybe you're not aware of it. As a pastor, I'm very aware. I know when these bills come up because I recognize what's happening, and I'm very aware of it, and it's going to be one of those things where one day it may actually pass. What then? And Daniel's going to be facing that. It's going to be a what then moment. If we don't pray for boldness now and decide where we're going to stand now and continue to do what we've done our whole life as Daniel's custom was, we're going to fail then. This is the moment, guys, to be bold, not when the trial comes. We need to be bold before the bill passes. We need to be bold before the language changes. And suddenly you, simply because you believe the Bible, get lumped in with something that's illegal or puts a label on you that is not true. And it's happening. Satan's very clever. If he can't get us one way, he'll get us another. His tactics, as we said, they don't change. And so Daniel now is facing this. And they realize, all right, if we can't catch Daniel in anything that he's doing against the current laws, we will make new laws to trap him. And look what happens here in verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king. So they came in this huge multitude. And they said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. Notice how firm they are in this bill they're writing in Congress. A firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, a little bit of flattery thrown in here, right, to lure him in, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, several things to note here. You talk about lion, they're lion. Because they said at the very beginning, all of the governors and satraps. No, Daniel didn't. Daniel wasn't even there. Daniel was over all of them. He was the vice king, if you want to put it in modern day language. And they're saying, everybody's in agreement. No, just one of the most powerful men in the kingdom's in disagreement. And they're tricking the king who loved Daniel. He saw Daniel's distinguishedness. He saw Daniel's excellent spirit. He's being tricked here by flattery. Oh, king, no one can pray to anyone but you because you're so great. And the king's probably thinking, well, you know, I guess that does create loyalty, and so I'll go along with it. I don't think he was excessively prideful because of his heart toward Daniel. We'll see later in the chapter, but he allowed the flattery to get through. He didn't read between the lines, and now he's got a big problem here. And notice how radical this is. Again, he should have noticed. Again, now the difference, here comes the difference in Babylon and Medes and Persians, okay? The laws of Babylon can be changed immediately. If you passed a law in Babylon, the king could make a law and then change it the next moment. Not so with the Medes and Persians. They had kind of a Congress, Senate, that kind of thing we have. It wasn't a Congress and Senate. Don't be confused there. But a setup of leaders that way. If you passed a law, if the bill passed, you had to go back to the Congress to pass another bill to change it. And so they knew if they did this, they had Daniel trapped. So notice their language. Make a firm decree that cannot be changed. And they had it down in writing. And notice how radical they are, that they may be thrown in the lion's den. I mean, how about a heavy fine? Or maybe they lose their whatever, their position or what. But why are you so radical? You want to take a human being and throw him to animals that eat him alive. Now you see the hatred they had toward Daniel and the God of Daniel. And again, that same spirit is around today. There's radical forces that are radically against Jesus Christ and radically against believers, and it's led by the demonic realm. That's what's going on here. It's not just pass a law so we can't do it. It's pass a law so we can watch him suffer and be tortured. And again, all these horrible things happen here, again, if Daniel does this. So again, the king here, again, they foolishly, notice verse 9, the king Darius, he signed the written decree. He didn't think about it. He didn't think it through until suddenly they're going to come to him at the end of this day and say, guess what, O king? You're number two guy. He's disobeying your law. And he's going to realize at that moment, I've been had. But look at this, between verse 9 and verse 10, guys, this is where it's decision time. Daniel heard about this. Look at the first few lines of verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew, I have that underlined, when Daniel knew, Daniel heard this, and now is the moment of truth. What are we going to do when Christians become haters by law simply because we believe the Bible? What are you going to do, Christian? What's going to happen if that happens? Look, I'm not trying to bring fear in your heart. As a matter of fact, I learned something very interesting recently, the physiology of the brain, the way it works, and I think it's, I see God in this so much. That fear and boldness are linked in the brain. Somehow they're linked. I don't know how they know this or whatever, but I was just recently, this was brought to my attention. They're linked. And what they tell us, those who study these things, they say that if fear begins to take over, if you can somehow shift that over into the bold realm, which is right next to it, you'll become just as bold as you were fearful. Isn't that great? God's design. What that means is that's why in battle, you think all these men that go in battle aren't afraid? They're human. They may be tough. They may be well-trained, but they're human. Nobody wants to be shot up and blown up. Nobody. That naturally, that's not something you desire, right? So you get afraid, and what happens is when they realize, I have to fight, the fight is on, that first step to break out of that fear and start fighting is when it shifts over, they say, into the bold side, and suddenly you see these warriors running into battle, just, you know, all the army movies or whatever the case might be, and again, the little boy coming out there, but you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, it's true for men and women. So when you're feeling that fear, if you can just say, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid of this. Here we go. I'm stepping into it. I'm going to do it. It'll shift over into boldness, and you'll become very bold. This is where Daniel is. It's one thing to think, all right, I may lose my position. I may even be put to death. No, this is wild animals are going to eat me while I'm alive. Again, I don't want to paint too much of a picture, but that's what Daniel's facing between verse 9 and verse 10. What's Daniel going to do? What are we going to do when these types of things, if they do come down the road for us sometime, what are we going to do? And that's why we have to decide right now.
You've just heard another broadcast of Come to the Table. Whether today is your first time joining us or not, we're delighted you did. We want to give all of our listeners the opportunity to learn more about Jesus, and Come to the Table is the vehicle to do just that. So we just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching of Daniel by Pastor Mark. Maybe you've heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These stories, like so many others, are found in this Old Testament book. It's also chock full of God's faithfulness. Did you know Pastor Mark teaches on much more than just the book of Daniel? For other messages, just go to our website, thewaymedia.net, and click on Come to the Table tab at the top of the page. From there, you should see links for our podcast available on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitch. While you're there, feel free to shoot us any questions or comments you have about Jesus or this radio ministry. We'd like nothing more than to talk with you. For a more personal contact, we welcome a call from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. Do you live in the Knoxville, Tennessee area? Do you have a church you call home? You're welcome to join one of our services. We have several services each weekend and also a midweek service every Wednesday night. We'd love to meet you as we gather for a time of fellowship. We'll be back with you soon on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.